the new face of America in China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, President Obama is expected to nominate Commerce Secretary Gary Locke as the next ambassador to Beijing. Locke would replace John Huntsman and would be the first Chinese-American to serve in the post. From Shanghai, Rob Schmitz tells us how the news is playing in China.
The U.S. ambassador to China is a tricky post. You're in charge of managing what is arguably the most important economic relationship for the U.S., yet a difficult one. You have to hold a smile while politely asking Chinese officials for the 100th time to raise the value of their currency, or crack down on pirated DVDs, or level the playing field for American businesses in China. This job is not for just anyone.
I cannot imagine there would be a better nomination than this one.
Wu Xinbo is a professor at Fudan University. He says, for starters, the Chinese public will be surprised and pleased the new U.S. ambassador has a Chinese face and grew up speaking a dialect of Chinese.
They will think that as an American Chinese, they should have better understanding of China, the Chinese society, and its history.
Wu says Chinese officials will also be happy. Not only does Locke's experience as Commerce Secretary give him the economic know-how, but serving on President Obama's cabinet shows he'll be able to deliver a message from Beijing straight to the White House. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Oil prices are slightly lower in overseas trading this morning. That's mostly because OPEC is holding informal talks that could lead to pumping more oil into the system. The cartel of oil-producing nations says it is trying to stabilize the oil market following the loss of a million barrels a day from Libya. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live now from London with more on this. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So what can OPEC actually do about oil prices?
Quite a lot. OPEC's got a lot of spare capacity, especially Saudi Arabia. It usually keeps a lot of its available oil off the market in order to keep up the price. So in a crisis like now, when there's a danger of the price spiraling much higher and damaging the global economy, they can pump more crude. The Saudis have already been supplying an extra 700,000 barrels a day. Now Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates and Nigeria are talking about pumping an extra 300,000 barrels too. So that would neatly replace the 1 million barrels that you talk about, the 1 million barrels a day currently being lost from Libya.
But Stephen, as you mentioned those countries, I hear countries that are in the region, at least some of them, that is in the midst of such upheaval right now. Aren't those countries vulnerable themselves to protest and maybe even revolution?
That's the ultimate fear at the back of everyone's mind, the nightmare scenario. If Saudi Arabia in particular was to see the kind of turmoil we see in Libya, Leo Drolis of the Center for Global Energy Studies says the consequences would be devastating.
Armageddon will follow as sure as night follows day, because it's a huge producer of oil, huge exporter, and it'll plunge the world into a recession like we've never seen for centuries.
And for that reason, he says, it's highly unlikely to happen. The world powers would not stand by and see it happen.
One hopes not. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe this morning. Up in Asia, though, about a third of a percent lower in Frankfurt. Subway has become the biggest fast food chain in the world when it comes to the number of restaurants. According to a government filing, at the end of last year, Subway had 33,749 stores. McDonald's, 32,737. Wall Street held the Mayo yesterday. The Dow dropped 79 points to close at 12,090.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By Mass Mutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
All right, it's quiz time here on the Marketplace Morning Report. So let's bring in our quiz master, Stefan Richter. He's editor-in-chief at The Globalist. Good morning, Stefan.
Morning, Jeremy. Are you ready for today's quiz?
I am ready. Hit me.
It's all about tobacco, which kills 5.4 million people each year around the world. And my question to you is, which of these countries produces more tobacco than any other? Is it A, yours truly, the United States of America, B, Brazil, C, India, or D, China?
Well, I feel like China produces more of just about everything these days. But I took a trip through Tennessee this summer, and they certainly produce a lot of tobacco down there still. So I'm going to go with the United States.
Until 1976, you would have been right. But the U.S. is only doing 6% of global production these days, ranks fourth among these.
Okay, I'm going to go with Brazil.
Brazil is very close. Brazil, unfortunately, is number two, 15% of global production. But if I'd asked about sugar, oranges, or coffee, three other staples that you probably need in the morning, you would have been right. Brazil leads the world there, but not on tobacco.
All right, well, I guess I have a 50% chance of getting it at this point. I'll go with India.
No.
At least the audience now knows that I didn't see the answers in advance.
This, again, is another field where China leads the world in terms of global production. In fact, it accounts for 39% of it around the globe. And the Chinese are heavy consumers for once of this stuff. 27% of the Chinese population smokes. So they are number one again.
Number one again. All right. And I am number four on this quiz. Thank you again, Stefan Richter. He's the editor-in-chief at The Globalist, and they've got new features every day about the world at theglobalist.com. Stefan, thanks.
Till next time. Bye-bye.
And finally, lawmakers in Maryland will hold a hearing today about a new law that would allow people to eat outside at restaurants with their dogs. The sponsor of the bill tells the Baltimore Sun the law would encourage pet owners to go out to eat more often, give the restaurant industry a boost. So far, the bill is not facing much opposition. As for the dogs, they seem to like the idea. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Quiet, Chi-Chi. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If a celebrity's following you on Twitter, don't get too excited.
Do those people really think that Lady Gaga and President Obama are reading their tweets?
I'm Kai Rizdaw, the Freakonomics of 140-character relationships. The numbers from Wall Street and all the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.